Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel in St. Matthew chapter 9. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." This is God's word. I want you to imagine you're the paralytic, relying on friends to carry you from place to place. Or you can insert in there any affliction of body or mind or spirit, any affliction you have. And the Lord Jesus walks up to you, and the first thing he says to you is, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." We can't help but wonder if that paralytic thought to himself, "Really? I'm paralyzed. And yet what you're giving me is forgiveness." Now, to be fair, the paralytic, we don't know that he responded in anything but faith. But that's kind of how we might react, isn't it? In the face of pain, suffering, hurt, brokenness, what good is the forgiveness of sins? Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it? That Jesus, by his words and actions, shows us the thing of most importance in the life of that paralytic, that his sins are forgiven, and that he, Jesus, has the authority to speak that forgiveness. Next Sunday, we'll observe Reformation Day. We'll give thanks to God for the work of Martin Luther and the Lutheran Reformation during our service. And I always like for us to go back to what Martin Luther wrote in his 95 theses that he nailed on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. The very first of those 95 theses, because it says a lot to us. The first thing he wrote, thesis number one: when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed that the entire life of believers be one of repentance. In other words, that is what Christians do. They confess their sins. They receive forgiveness from their sins. They turn away from sin. That is the Christian life. That is what Jesus addresses first and foremost with the paralytic: the forgiveness of his sins. It may sound corny or trite to say that in this day and age, what we need more than anything else is the forgiveness of sins. But it is true. If we are to be the church, if we are to be Christians, then everything for us should be centered around the forgiveness of sins. The death of Christ upon the cross to pour out his blood for us, to pay the debt of our sin and declare that we are forgiven. Not by our own works, not by our own efforts, but only by the blood of Jesus and his word that speaks it to us. The Pharisees considered Jesus a blasphemer for saying that someone's sins are forgiven. Because in their mind, forgiveness could only be delivered by God. And who was this man, Jesus, to have authority to speak forgiveness? Now, here's what you need to understand about authority. Authority is much different than power. We see Jesus use both authority and power in this reading. Power is natural. A wolf has the natural power to overtake a lamb and kill it. A big, strong man has power to overtake and beat up a little scrawny guy. But authority is given. Authority comes from someone who has the ability to give it. So, for example, a governor or a president receives its authority from the Constitution and from the voters who put that person in the office. A babysitter receives authority to care for the children from the parents who hire her and leave the kids in their care. Authority is given. You know that text that people kind of get bent out of shape about, where it talks about in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about wives submit to your husbands and submit to your husbands as to the Lord. He's not talking about power, that husbands are to dominate their wives. He's talking about authority. When you have authority, you are entrusted with accountability. Jesus, with the authority to forgive sins given to him by his Father, is showing that he has the responsibility to declare forgiveness of sins to those who need it. Jesus shows his power that he is not just man, but also God, by then healing the paralytic, telling him to get up, take his mat, and go home. I think what we confuse in this day and age is wanting the Jesus of power over the Jesus with authority. Forgiveness of sins doesn't seem like enough. We want power. We want divine works. We want the sick to be healed. We want peace where there is division. We want pandemics to end. We want hatred to cease. You know, God does promise us those things. It's the point in the resurrection of the dead. It's the point of a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation, that all those things will be brought to an end by God's power, by Christ's power. But when Jesus spoke forgiveness to that paralytic, he spoke as one who had authority from God the Father. And he forgave his sins in simple words. The power came in the healing. The authority was shown in the forgiveness. And I want you, dear friends in Christ, to remember in this day and age where we're looking for the power of God in mighty signs and wonders, that we have the authority of Jesus in the word of forgiveness. That is what the church is about. Speaking that word of forgiveness, that like that paralytic, Christians may take heart. In other words, be courageous. Be filled with courage in the face of all things. Why? Because, dear friend in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And as the crowds acknowledged, this authority has been given to men, to people, to human beings dwelling on earth. The authority to forgive sins has been given to us because Jesus Christ has given it to us. Remember, authority comes from someone who is able to give it. And that's what Jesus has done to his church. He has given the church authority to forgive sins. And the way that works is that you call a pastor. And that pastor speaks forgiveness. In 15 years as a pastor, I've been asked maybe a dozen times why we say the words that we say in our absolution. Many of you have heard those words your entire life and maybe never really stopped to think about it. Do you find it odd that when the pastor speaks the absolution in our services, he doesn't say, Jesus forgives all your sins. He doesn't say, Christ died on the cross to deliver you from your sin. The pastor says, I forgive you all your sins. Why is that? You don't need my forgiveness. We're talking about confession at the new members class on Thursday. I said, you don't need my forgiveness unless you keyed my car on the way in this morning or said something rude about me in the parking lot. Well, maybe you need my forgiveness. No, what you need is God's forgiveness. And that's what's spoken to you. That's what's delivered to you in word, in bread, in wine, in being recalled to the font where you were washed and made one of God's children. Because you see, everything we do about here is about the forgiving of sins. Because that's what the church does. We want the church at times to be about a whole bunch of different things. Well, we need to help the needy. We need to give hope to those who are distressed. We need to give fellowship to those who are lonely and brokenhearted. Yes, we do all of those things, but that all flows out of the reality that we forgive sins. Because Jesus forgives sins. He gives the authority to forgive sins to his church. And that's why you're here. Because you, dear friends in Jesus, are sinners. And so am I. And we come here to take heart, to be courageous. Because our sins are forgiven. Because Christ has died for us and shed his blood, and he has authority to forgive sins. And he forgives you. It's why we use the phrase week in and week out that we are poor, miserable sinners. Because we are. And that's not a friendly message. That's not a comfortable message. It ought to kind of trouble you. It really should trouble us that we are indeed sinners who have failed God our Father in all of our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We are deserving of his wrath and his condemnation. But you know what? We take heart. We have courage in the face of all things. Why? Because Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, and he gives that authority to his church on earth. In our Old Testament reading this morning, Jacob saw a stairway, a ladder, going up to heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. And he declared, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely this is the gate of heaven. Well, that's what our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit deliver to you this morning. The gate of heaven. The entrance to heaven is the forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. Spoken to you so that you would know, that you would have assurance. All your sin is taken away. Heaven is open to you and is yours. Because the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. And that word of forgiveness can never be taken away. The psalmist says that the word of the Lord endures forever. That word exists to declare to you that your sin is taken away in the blood of the one who has authority to forgive sins, and the one who has the power to rise from death that we might rise from death as well. Dear friends, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.